Welcome back to Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. We are officially through week one of college softball. The 2025 season is here, and we're excited for it. So episode two, we're going to take you through the biggest takeaways after opening weekend, the best performances, early concerns potentially, and what's on deck. So Britt, you were in Florida this past weekend. Unfortunately, we couldn't see each other, but you were out in like the Tampa area. So what was your experience this weekend?
You know, it was sunny, 75, got to put my toes in the water, my ass in the sand. You know, it was great. Got to watch some good softball in Clearwater. There was three ACC teams. Got to take a look at Duke and Notre Dame and Pitt. They were all there. So first week of opening softball came out with a bang, and I was just lucky enough to be in the sunshine where you live and not the press box for, what was it, Alex?
Almost 50 hours. Yeah, it was crazy.
Our weekends looked a little bit different, but they were both on the softball.
Yeah, it's still enjoyable, right? We're living the life. So you got to support, and obviously the weather was great, but you got to see a Duke team. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll go into the full scope.
Yeah, you know, Duke came out, and they look like Duke. Cassidy Curd is Cassidy Curd. She hasn't missed a beat from where she left off last year. The confidence there, the domination's there, the excitement's there. As Cass goes, this team's going to go. But you know, I'm sitting there watching him, and my cousin came and watched the game with me, and he doesn't know anything. He's a baseball guy, but he just doesn't know who's who in softball. Not yet. Got him on the podcast. He's going to be listening. He watched Amina Vega take a routine ground ball at second base. He was like, damn, look at her. Like, it was nothing flashy, nothing spectacular, just taking a routine ground ball, just the way she fielded the ball and athletic she looked and smooth she looked. I could watch her take ground balls all day. And I mean, you talked about it last week, how good she was last year, how good she's going to be this year. And her bat was lighting it up. She hit 500 with 9 RBIs, and she looked good. She's going to be legit again. And some of the questions we had about Duke are like, where are they going to fill the holes of the great stars that left last year? And KK Mathis from JMU came in. She hit 500 too. She played left field, first base. She DP'd for him. So they've brought in a true utility there. And then the transfer from UCLA, Tessa Malauulu. There we go. Hit over 400, and she's going to be a great replacement for Giselle Tapia at first base. So for a school that's not used to using the portal like Duke is because of the academics and whatnot, I think they did a really good job of picking up some women in there to fill some holes. And, you know, Duke swung the bat well. They beat Penn State, Mississippi State in a run rule. They beat SEC Kentucky. They did have the losses to Missouri and Northwestern, but both those teams are ranked too. So I think for the first weekend, it was a lot of fun to watch Duke play.
And so cool that you got to see it in person. I got to watch NC State as well with all the games that I was calling, and they impressed me as well. I feel like picking up right where they left off, just with a very successful first season under Coach Lindsay Lefwich, who took over last year and had over a 500 winning percentage, which I think is so hard to do in general. But the buy-in that she was able to get like very immediately from those girls is, I think, what I'm most impressed with. But they looked really good, so I'm excited to see them continue to learn the next couple weeks. Like, everybody he's working out a few kinks here and there, and not the good kind of kinks, like just normal, you know, mistakes and mishaps on the field, but kind of coming into their own. And nobody knows what to expect the first few weeks, let alone the first weekend. Like, everybody's just figuring it out. So the ACC as a whole hit over like 300 this weekend, just over 300. Britt, you're like the mathematician here, the numbers wizard, but almost gathering about 2,000 recorded at bats, just under that. And I feel like the ACC offense is going to be an interesting conversation this year. And that's, I think, what I'm most excited to see progress. I think the ACC pitching is pretty damn legit. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
You said it's the first weekend. Coaches don't know what to expect coming in. I mean, go back to KK Mathis earlier in the weekend. She's batting an 8-9 hole and ends up hitting 500 on the weekend. So I expect to see her move up in the lineup. Coaches are still plugging players in. You know, some people are just great at practice, and then they come into the game and early in the season. So I think it's going to be fun to see how these teams kind of transform their lineups going into week two. Week one is just a crapshoot, but you know, it was a fun one. You can see, definitely see the athleticism and talent out there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the team that most impressed me, or just is worth talking about, is Stanford. They're a team, they went undefeated, as did a couple others this weekend. You had Stanford, Syracuse, and Virginia Tech all go undefeated. But then the NFCA coaches, oh my goodness, I just said that backwards. The NFCA coaches poll came out, and Florida State came in at number 8, Duke is 12, Virginia Tech 17, and Stanford 20. So to further elaborate on Stanford, they had a couple run rule wins more than anything this weekend. And I know the question's been, who is Stanford going to be without Nyjah Kennedy? But their offense is really stepping up. And I'd love to see that. Their first couple of games against Fresno State and Seattle, closer battles, but then they played them again in a third and fourth match and completely just like wiped the table, run rule victories. And for me, that says a lot about adjustments. And I think that's the name of the game. Great teams adjust really well and really fast. So.
Yeah, and I think Stanford, just the type of team they've been in the past, coming off of 2 straight World Series, is they find a way to win. You know, they're fast, they're smart on the bases, they take the extra base, and yeah, they lost the big arm in the circle, but they're a gritty, scrappy team. They're always excited, they're always being loud, they're always in the game, but you know what I love the most is watching a softball field being played on their football field. It was such a sight to see. They've done such a great – I was curious at how it was, like the aesthetics of how it looked.
Yeah,
but it looked awesome. They looked good playing, the stadium looked great, so props to Stanford on all of that.
And not only that, Stanford, as we all know, is one of the smartest schools in the country, and I feel like just with their intelligence, they're really helping us out. Did you know, Britt, that on their website they have audible versions of how each athlete's name is said, and it's coming straight from the athlete? I also think that's worth noting. So like, if you know you have a confusing name in writing, there's a where you can just like click to listen, and the athletes are on there telling you how to say their name. Did you know that?
I think I had not know Stanford had it. I have seen it a couple other places, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. We don't, when we call games, last thing we want to do is get a name wrong.
Absolutely.
I just feel like that's disrespectful, but you give us all the tools, then it's on me at the end of the day if I mess right. it up, for sure. Right. But I think that's SID's communications department, huge. Stanford, great job.
Shout out. Yeah. Also, you know how many times coaches actually get their own players' names wrong? Because like sometimes I'll be down on the field, like listening, you know, before a game or like chatting real quick. And I'll be like, hey, just to clarify, like, how do you say so-and-so's name? And like coach will be like, oh, hey, like they're right here. Why don't you just have them tell you? And they'll say it and coach will be like, wait, that's not how I've been saying it this whole time. So I'm glad I heard it. So just funny. But yeah, good stuff. So let's talk best performances on the weekend. Just again, week one, so nothing crazy here, but initial thoughts on both individual and team, Britt.
Best performance, I'm going to go like an individual moment, not just like the weekend as a whole. And I got lucky enough to see this in person. It was Notre Dame down in Clearwater. The game I was watching just finished up, and I'm walking over and Notre Dame's playing Mizzou. It's the 7th inning. They're down 2-1 late in the game, and they're just coming off of 3 straight losses to Morgan State, Kentucky, and Tennessee. So they've had a rough start to the Coach Ganef era, taking over it for the Irish. But they're down against Missouri, 7th inning, and Jane Cronenberger comes up with a runner on and launches one into the night. It's a night game, so it makes it feel even better. Over a right field wall, and the place just erupts. And Notre Dame's able to walk off a Missouri team that put a beating on Duke. So I think that was a huge moment for Notre Dame. They went on to win the rest of their games down in Clearwater. So sometimes it just takes that one big moment to get a team going, and having being defeated off the first 3 games you played and still showing that fight and that grit to come back and get a big walk off. I thought that was just so much fun and my favorite moment from a team this weekend.
That's cool. That's good stuff. I love it. Everybody loves a good dramatic moment. I'm actually calling the Missouri game tonight. And oh, so out here in Florida, yeah, because they were in Clearwater. So they're staying here and going to the other tournament in Clearwater this next weekend, the SBC Elite. And so, yeah, I'm excited. But on the coach's call, Coach Anderson was like, yeah, I wasn't so pleased with that one, but like it happened. So it's just funny.
Yeah, that was great. And then for my individual performance, I'm going to go with Emma Limley. She was outstanding. She threw her first career perfect game. She almost had a second career perfect game and gave up a bunt single in the top of the 7th. But her game against College of Charleston, perfect. No walks, no hits, no errors. It was beautiful. in The Circle by Emma Limley. And we've seen her kind of struggle her sophomore year, giving up a bunch of bombs, some control issues, but went back and watched her throw, Alex, and she's back. The Emma Limley that we want to see and have expected to see, she's there. Her velocity's back. Her confidence is there. And that rise ball is jumping. And jumping fast and hard, late. It looked great. She looked great. I'm so happy for her because you remember when she went through the leaping, that whole thing, and then, you know, just the confidence and the mind game that she had to go through, and then they changed the rules. And so I am so happy for her. I think Virginia Tech is not getting a lot of chatter about them, but they should, because they did not give up an earned run this weekend. The only team in D1 not to give up an earned run. And they only had four, they gave up four walks to their 40 strikeouts, and their bats are there. We always talk about Virginia Tech bats. Their bats are there. They're hitting .432 as a team, six home runs, 50 runs scored, and their pitcher threw a perfect game and was two outs away from two perfect games on the weekend. So Emma Limley, I tip my cap to you. I'm so excited for her. She looked amazing this weekend. That was my top individual performance.
I like it. So what you're saying is the pitching of the ACC really is the talk of the town here.
Yeah, it looks good.
I don't know. Yeah, and I mean, you're married to a pitching legend, so I don't know. Is there any bias or what? Like, I know you're a hitter, so.
My critique on pitching is definitely the bar has been raised from what I've learned from living in my house. So
yeah, I'm jealous.
The real deal from Emma Limley this weekend.
That's awesome. Okay, so I feel like my surprises are not surprises, but like individuals that surprise me and teams and stuff in a good way. The Florida State response to the Oklahoma State couple of games. They played them twice. First game was just a tough loss. They lost 6-9 and they threw forearms. And so a couple of errors on defense just didn't help. And again, anytime you're facing a really quality team like Oklahoma State is, you can't give them extra outs because then they just start to capitalize on opportunities and it just kind of turns to shit sometimes. And that one obviously not going the way for Florida State. But fast forward and then you get a game two. A couple of good arms in the circle, a combination of Annabelle Weidra and Jazzy Frantzik. Frantzik's only a freshman, Weidra a senior coming in. Errorless defense that time, a five-inning, eight-run rule shutout. And I think to me that response is like, nope, this we're not okay with that. That's not who we are, and this is who we are. So like, let's show up, let's kind of regroup, make those adjustments like we talked about earlier. And let's take care of business. And I like that because that's a pretty veteran team in Florida State to be able to do that. Some young ones out there and a couple young ones trying to deal with what's it like in year two, right? You have Issa Torres and obviously Jason Ibichum kind of coming off really stellar freshman seasons. And you got Frantzik in the circle who's young, but they're surrounded by a lot of vets. So I feel like it's a really good combo.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned Florida State coming back in game two and run rolling. That, to me, that's typical Florida State, right? They are so well coached. They're so composed. They're not going to let one loss mess with them. They're going to go back, get things right, come back out, and fight. And I think the most surprising thing to me, not surprising because we know Coach Lonnie is kind of the inventor of pitching by staff in softball, but going against a team that's made five straight World Series and threw six different arms at them, six different pitchers. And she just, and they're all different. If she needs a rise ball pitcher, she's got it. If she needs a good down ball pitcher, she's got it. If she needs somebody that can throw all zones, she can do it. And she's a mastermind at pitch calling. She's a mastermind at matchup. So I think the toolbox this year for Florida State is so much deeper than it was last year, because last year, all those injuries they had to deal with in the circle. So I think Coach Lonnie's just going to work her magic, and she's not afraid to put pitchers in situations. And we saw that this weekend going against the top 10 team, Oklahoma State. She's just throwing the freshmen, the transfers, you know, anybody that she wants, she's going to put them in those situations. And I love that so much.
Yeah, and what a turn of events, too, for Florida State to come off a year like last year where pitching depth was the concern and was everybody's talk, like, about Florida State, everybody's critique and question and everything else. And to come back and have that kind of staff, like, rebuilt, I think is so cool. And a couple of shout-outs to some individual players. First, I have to go back to Stanford. Taryn Kern, hell of a start, hitting over .630 in her first four games. Shout-out, that's legit. And then a really good outing in her first few matches. matchups, as well as Kennedy Harp for Florida State hitting over 660. She had 10 hits, a couple of doubles, three triples. I'm sorry. I've never even, maybe one in my career that I can remember. So three in a weekend, that's pretty good. And and then somebody too that I think more than anything for Harp is she was a role player last year, and then to come in and kind of take that approach and everything that she learned and say, okay, like now is my time and I want to be more of that everyday contributor is really cool. So a lot of maturity there.
Yeah, she had a weight behind, what was it, Kaylee Harding, right?
Instead of yeah, field? Kaylee Harding. Yeah.
I mean, Kaylee Harding's clutch. She's a great ball player. It's so easy nowadays for especially a freshman to be like, you know what, I'm not playing, I'm not happy here, this sucks, my coaches don't know what they're doing,
right?
Then jump in that portal. But Kennedy Harp showing, hey, take that moment to learn from a great player, learn from the moments that you can see the game from a different angle. And she came out and she was ready to go, and she's making the most of it here early in this weekend. Hell of a weekend by Kennedy Harp.
Yeah, and that was a Florida State outfield last year that graduated some good talent with Kaylee Mudge, Kaylee Harding. Obviously, Janai Kerr was out there as well, and some others like trickling in too, in those like more role player type of opportunities. So love to see it. But okay, let's shift a little bit now. Like early concerns. Do you have any thoughts on just like where teams are and like just, I don't know, areas of interest? I don't want to call it concerns because concerns has such a negative connotation. Well, but maybe just like,
You know, it is a little bit of a concern, and it may be a little early to have concerns, but that's what we're here to do. We're here to talk about it. At least, you know, when I watch Duke, Cassidy Curd's the real deal, right? And last year, her and Jayla Wright, they just rolled through. And my concern is who's next for Cassidy Curd? How deep is that bullpen? Like Florida State, they threw all six arms this weekend. Duke, when Cassidy Curd's in the circle, they're winning ball games. She pitched against Missouri, super excited about that matchup. There's a lot of bad blood from that super regional last year. And she went five innings, gave up one run, came out of the game with a three-run lead. And then Danny Drugmuller came in, who came out earlier and pitched a complete game, 8-0 against Mississippi State, shut them out. But she came in, gave up five earned runs, switched to Haley Shuler. She came in and gave up four runs. So it was a big nine-run inning after Cassidy Curd leaves the game, and Duke went on to lose that game. And then they lost the game to Northwestern, where Cassidy Curd did not pitch. So for me, where's the depth? Who's going to be that number two? Because you've got to have that strong number two and three if you're going to be in a long run postseason. You're going to play the same time. And super regionals, I just think the depth in the circle has got to grow a little bit for Duke. And where's that coming from? And Marissa Young, pitching coach, phenomenal coach. So I have no doubt that she's going to, you know, work her magic. But just from week one, that's my question mark there for Duke. Do you have any question marks? Is question marks a better?
I like that. Yeah, it sounds a little kinder, right? Question marks. And everybody keep in mind, like the question marks are only because there's a lot of opportunity and there's a lot of expectation, which will lead right into my question mark, is both Florida State and Duke both having the last several years a lot of success. Duke reaching the World Series for the first time last season, obviously behind some really great upperclassmen. Some of them are, and then Florida State, some of their players having a lot of success. One, graduated a lot of talent as well. And then two, a lot of their returners that had success are so young. And so does that reality and pressure of expectation affect performance? And if you've never been in a situation where like you do something really damn well and then like you kind of set the bar high, right? And at this point you're telling yourself like, okay, like that's now the minimum goal. So I can do this. I've shown myself I can do this. Now what's next? How can I get better? And that's what any competitive elite level athlete is asking themselves, because quite frankly, reaching the accomplishment or attaining the goal is not the end all be all. It's really what comes after that, because it's like a stepping stone all the time. It's why they're at the point that they are in their careers and at their skill level. And so like, does the pressure of expectation affect Florida State or Duke? I'll be curious. I'm interested to see it. I hope the answer is no, but I think it's going to be a real thing. And that's why too, though, from the perspective of looking externally, you've got to be willing to ride the roller coaster. It's an up and a down process. It is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And you just have to really try to win every damn day.
Yeah. You talk about the roller coaster. You don't want to get too high and you don't want to get too low when things aren't going great. And those expectations that you put on yourself, you know, you got to meet your coach's expectations, your teammates' expectations, the chatter, the fans, the people that are talking about softball, which is great, but you know, they're not always positive. They can be negative too. And, you know, you start letting that creep in social media. And then this day and age with NIL, if you're fortunate enough to be a player that's getting some extra cash for the expectation of you being a contributor, a top performer, you know, if it's from your collective at your school or if it's from somebody off the street, you know, that extra money puts extra pressure because, hey, now I'm letting down my coaches, the collective thought I was worth this X amount of money, not just to my teammates and being a source of somebody that can compete and help us win, but now mm-hmm. they're putting these finances on. It's just a whole lot of pressure. And if that expectation's here and you don't feel like you're meeting it, it was so hard to get down, so easy to get down on yourself early, mm-hmm. but this is week one, small sample size. And I think Coach Lonnie does a great job of taking it one game at a time. You can't start thinking, oh my God, we're not going to make it to the World Series yet. We're not going to do this, mm-hmm. right? One game at a time. The most important game is always the next game.
The next one. Yeah, the next one, flat out. And I think Coach Young is doing that well because they Absolutely. Faced a lot of criticism last year with where the national seedings ended up and everything else. And her mentality of just like, so what? It's not going to dictate like the rest of the success that is our season. And just kind of like the get over it approach. I do love it because you can't be so emotionally tied to results. We talk so much about that in softball. But what is the saying? It's like people are so quick to criticize and slow to praise, right? And that's a lot of like those technology, like social media critics behind the scenes, right? Everybody's behind a keyboard and like no face. And they're just like wanting to bash people, but God forbid somebody posts like you complimented Amina Vega making a really great routine play earlier, but that's like what really great players do. They make routine plays look really easy. And so that stuff doesn't get a good job, but it should, because we all have seen and we've all been, you know, guilty of messing up the routine play, right? That the ball everybody should field, the ball everybody should catch and throw. We've all jacked it up a little bit. Happens. Like, come on. Yeah, we're human. So,
and that's where you lean on your teammates. And when you have these expectations set, that's when your circle, your sisters, and that bubble around your team gets even tighter. So don't let the outside get in. And hey, I think they're going to be at the end of the year playing in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. All right, Britt, you want to tell us what's on deck?
Yeah, we've got some good softball coming up. Duke is going down to Gainesville playing in the Bubbly Invitational at Florida. They've got two games against Florida on Friday and Sunday, which is exciting, I'm sure, for the Young family because her daughter Layla is a freshman for the Gators. So that I'm sure that family reunion will be fun. And I look forward to talking to Coach Young in a couple weeks. Love to see how that goes. And they play Boston College too because they don't play them in their regular season ACC schedule. So
which, love that.
Yeah.
I love that they like fit them in knowing, hey, we're not going to play you in regular season, but like, let's play. That's good stuff.
I do. I love that. We've got a few teams going down to the Shriners Clearwater Invitation. Clemson being one of them. They will play Missouri. I think Missouri's just going to play the whole ACC this preseason, it feels like. But they also have Auburn, Kentucky, and UCF. So a challenging schedule there. Virginia will be down there as well. They have Kentucky, Auburn, Texas A&M, and UCLA, so Eden Bigham and Jade Hilton and the Cavaliers are going to go up against some good competition. And then your Seminoles, they'll be down there. They have got a couple tough games against, guess who? Missouri and UCF. And then finally, Virginia Tech is going down to Baton Rouge, LSU. They'll play them twice. And they'll also play against Northwestern, who we saw beat Duke this past weekend. So some great competition, the Shriners Clearwater Invitational. You'll be able to watch a ton of those on ESPN networks, ESPN Plus. So if you don't have anything to do, or if you do, cancel your plans, sit on your couch and watch some good ACC softball.
That's really good stuff. Yeah, I also think a lot of the teams have made like week two schedules harder. Some teams go like just like balls to the wall in week one and like risking everything, right? Like from the very first game, which I also love. Some teams played a little more safe in week one because, again, you never know what the hell to expect. And you still don't. Like the first month, like 4 to 6 weeks of season, I'm still doing coaches calls. And like, yeah, we're still figuring it out. And I'm like, coach, we're like a month in. You don't know yet? Like, no, we don't know until close to May. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, whatever.
That's what preseason's for. And I think all this competition, hard competition, is just going to make ACC play. When we get into it, it's going to be that much better. So I love the scheduling. Nice job.
Yeah,
coaching.
Really good. Yeah, really good stuff. So that's it for week one. I mean, like, we just gave you all like the important stuff, the big nuggets, and working from there. So definitely looking forward to covering the rest of the schools the next couple of weeks. And yeah, really good stuff. So go softball, go ACC. Thank you guys. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel. Feel free to message us, whether it's on social media, whether it's on YouTube, anything like that, any platform that you catch our podcast on, and send us some feedback. Let us know what it is you want to hear. Feel free to fact check us. We've had that a time or two. We welcome it all. So thank you guys for tuning in.